To that I say, amen. If you have your Bibles, open them with us to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. It's so good to see each and every one of you present tonight. We're thankful that you have come this way. I'm going to assume the screen has not been blacked. It is now. It's open behind me. Last night we spent some time answering the question of why I left. Why I left denominationalism. Why I left it behind. We covered that in depth, various reasons that prompted my leaving. And so we talked about why I left. Now I want to talk to you about why I love. Why I love. I believe that we're living in a time today, particularly in those that are my own generation that have come up, where we tend to think that we can have Jesus, but we don't have to have His church. We want a Jesus, but not His institution. In fact, some people say it this way. They say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. I can have a relationship with Jesus, but not with the church. I can go to heaven, but not be a member of the church. May I submit to you this evening that such an attitude is absolutely and unequivocally foreign to the New Testament. The Bible in no uncertain terms paints a portrait of a churchless Christian. I believe with all of my heart that the church is the divine institution in which Jesus not only established Matthew 16 and 18, He promised that He would build His church. It came into existence in Acts chapter number 2, verses 41 and 47. They were added to the church. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter number 20 and verse 28, said that that Jesus had shed His own blood for the church. May I say to you that if Jesus thought high enough to give His precious life for the church, then you and I, as Christians, ought to love that institution. We ought to love the church. You show me a man who says, I love Jesus, but not His church, I'll show you a man who has an improper understanding of the Word of God. I will also submit to you, as I said last night, that it's not popular in this day in which we live. But friend, you cannot have a right relationship with God, and neither can you be born again or made into the kingdom of God, which is His spiritual kingdom, the church, without being in Christ. And if one is in Christ, they'll be in the church. And if one's in the church, they'll be in Christ. And how about this? May I simplify it for you? We're talking about this at supper tonight. It's real simple. If Jesus died for the church, and the church belongs to Him, isn't it just fitting and proper that we had just referred to it as His church or the church of Christ? That's really simple. I like things simplified, and for people like me, that helps a lot. So tonight, for a moment, in Ephesians chapter number 5, I want to preach to you on this thought, why I love the church of Christ. Why I love it. Why I am thankful for it and why I appreciate it. So many today look at it as if it's another institution, another denomination, another fad of men. Some people refer to it as a movement. They refer to themselves simply, and I understand the plea of the restoration movement. But friend, may I say to you that we are not necessarily a part of some passing fad, but we, if we have been baptized for the remission of our sins, we have been added to the number of the redeemed, the saved of all the ages, those who make up the church belonging to Christ, and you ought to love it. I want to say this to you also, for those of you sitting in this assembly tonight who were raised in the church. Your parents were Christians. You may be a second, third, fourth generation Christian. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to thank Him every day. Some people come up to me sometimes after I preach sermons like last night, and they say, well, I tell you, that's so awesome, that story. But friend, I want to say to you that there are some people, not just myself sitting in this assembly, who have gone through things to be where they are today. And we are so thankful that we're here. But if you have that goodly and godly heritage, then thank God for it. Be thankful for your parents that raised you up according to the Word of God, for your family that has established you and strengthened you in that. Be so thankful. Well, don't look at the church and take it for granted. I feel as some people think that maybe I'm a little too excited, I'm a little too beside myself, but I want to say to you something, friend. When I dug into the Scriptures and found this truth, I felt as if though I had found a great treasure. I felt as if though I had found a great gold, and I couldn't tell everybody enough about it to come. Look at this, see what I found. And if you want to know the truth, not everyone was excited as I was to find this truth. But Tonight I want to remind you that we as Christians are called to love the church. Ephesians 5. The Bible says in verse number 22 is where we'll take our reading. There'll be other texts that we bring in. But I want you to listen closely. The Word of God says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Well, the Bible goes on and says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything," the Word of God tells us. Well, He goes on and says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Bible in verse 26 said that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does His, look at this now, His church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." I'm most convinced that God did give us marriage because it's not good that man should be alone. But I also believe that in the marriage union, we see a wonderful portrait of the church. This is what God gives to us to show us the church and the way that Jesus loves the church. And so for a moment tonight, I'm going to talk to you about why I love the church, why I'm so thankful for the church, and not only last night why I left, but tonight why I love. But I'm also going to tell you tonight why you should love the church of Christ too. And you should cherish it as well. Notice something quickly. I want to clarify something for you for a moment. What I am not professing love for. Let's be very careful. I'm not professing love tonight with a building for a sign. Understand that. I'm not professing love for a man-made organization or any such denomination. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul condemned such divisions to exist among Christians. May I also back up and say to you that just because on the front of this congregation there is a sign that says 4th Street Church of Christ, that does not necessarily make this a church of Christ as such. Let's be very careful here. The sign out front does not make this a church of Christ. The doctrine and the practice makes it the church of Christ. We need to be very careful and understand that. If we ever believe that the name would determine the doctrine, friends, we're in trouble no more and no less than our friends in the denominational world. But rather, the doctrine and the practice will cause us to be what the name says that we are. I'm not professing love tonight for a sign or any man-made organization. Not only that, I'm not professing love only for those who subscribe to a particular man-made tradition or pattern. I'm professing love tonight for those that would hold the Word of God in great and high esteem and stand upon its authority and its pattern as their only book. Some people today say, "Well, we need creeds. We need to tell people what we believe, friend." If we need creeds today, I say, why do we need creeds? We need creeds to tell us what the Bible says. Why don't we read the Bible? The Bible will tell us what it says. If you need a creed either says too much or too little. What we need today is the book. We need to get back to the book. And so I want to clarify what I'm not professing love for tonight. Just quickly, go with me and explore a few of these points. Now to clarify what I am professing love for this evening, I am professing love for what Jesus gave His life for. In Acts 20 and 28, as I quoted earlier, Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders and told them to shepherd the flock of God of which they have been made overseers and which Jesus had shed His own blood for. I am professing love for the blood-bought institution, the church belonging to Christ. I am professing love for the body of which Jesus is the head. I've learned as a Christian that there are some people out there, you may not believe this, but there are some people who believe the church is about them. They exist. Friend, I don't mean to bust your bubble tonight. I don't mean to get down on your do good and feel good. But I want to let you know tonight that Jesus has the preeminence in the church. It's His church. He bought it. It belongs to Him. He is the King. We are the subjects unto Him. He is the only one worthy to have all honor and glory in the church. Be to Him forever, dear friends. The church is Christ and belonging to Christ. And so I am professing love for that body which submits to Him as its head. I'm professing love tonight for the church belonging to Christ, and that means that I also, some people this is going to be a hard one to swallow, I'm professing love for all of those that are members of His church. We have to love one another. We're called to love one another. This is how the world will know we are His disciples. We have love for the brethren. We're to love one another. When I profess a love for the church, I'm professing love for all of those that are members of His church. Some of you tonight have come in who are brothers and members of the household of faith who I've never met. Do you know that I love you? I love you anyway. We have, blessed be the tie that binds us together. And so I'm professing love for this. Not only that, but I am professing love for local congregations who adhere to the doctrine of Christ and abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, I want you to notice just a few more things with me this evening. Why I love the church. I'm going to back up. There's a good chart here that tells us a little bit about the church, the passage, Jesus, what He does in our relationship. You can look at this, the church, Acts 8:3, Jesus calls us, we are the called out. This is the assembly, the church. This is our relationship, the church of God, Acts 20:28. The body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. The kingdom of God, Romans 14:17. The family of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. The temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. The church of the firstborn and the churches of Christ. These are scriptural descriptions of His church. This is the church that we are called to love and to cherish. Well, here are some more reasons that I love the church. I also love the church of Christ because of its origin. Because of its origin. Go back to the text with me for just a moment tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we began. The Bible tells us in verse number 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." I love the church of Christ because of its origin. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that I will build my church. Jesus promised to build His church, promised to build an institution, promised to make it His, to purchase it with His own blood, and to cause it to be unto Him His bride. Look at this. The Lord added to the church daily. Now I say to you, friend, that you're not placed into the church by voting. You're not placed into the church by going through a certain confirmation class as such. But the Bible says in Acts 2:41 and then in 47 that they gladly received His word and the Lord added to the church. I love the church that the Lord adds us to. Friends, I love the church because it is of God and not of man. It is in the mind of God. It was the great mystery. It was His. And not only this, but may I say to you that this church still exists today. This church is still in existence today. People today often have said, well, you cannot have the church as it was in the Bible today. Dear friends, I beg to differ if we'll go back to the Word of God and we will follow something very simple that I would call the seed principle. If you'll look here with me for just a moment. Listen, if you plant corn and you get tomatoes, you're going back to the store to have a little talk, right? I mean, nobody's going to do that. I mean, if you planted apple seeds and you got watermelon, hey, that's a problem. I mean, really, this is an issue. Nobody would do that. We don't think that way every day. When you plant your garden every year, you wouldn't do that. And yet people do it today. When you plant an acorn, if you planted an acorn and you got a catawba tree, something happened. Notice this. A corn planted, what will it do? It's going to bring forth corn. If you take the seed of an apple and you plant it, what's it going to do? It better bring forth an apple tree. If you plant an acorn, what are you going to get? You should get an oak tree. Dear friends, may I submit to you that if we will simply plant the Word of God, it will make that after its own kind. And this book can only make one thing and one thing only, and that is a Christian. And a Christian can only be placed in one place, and that is his body, the church. The church belonging to Jesus. I love the church because of the seed principle, because it replicates after its kind. Isn't it wonderful that we can have Christians anywhere, that we can come together and assemble And the seed after its own kind, friend, a Christian will make a Christian. Unfortunately, that's not the case today. That's not exactly what is happening in the world in which we live in. I want to submit something to you that seems a bit off sometimes and hard for people to understand. But I want you to notice something first of all. And these are our dear friends. I'm not here to pick on anyone tonight, but I want us to open the Word of God and see what it says. First of all, as a Baptist, there are some things that are needed a little further than the Word of God. I didn't read it in a book. I didn't get this from a study anywhere. I experienced it. I remember the first time that I went and preached at Baptist Church. I told you last night, I was told this is our authority, the Word of God. I was okay with that. Great. And then at the next meeting, I was handed the 21 Articles of Faith and told that I needed to get familiar with those. And then when I had some more questions, I was referred right here to Mr. Edward Hiscock's books, The Hiscock Standard for Manual. This governed a lot of what we did. Do you know why we needed that? Because we were looking to make someone a Baptist more than we were a Christian. You see, this book will only make a Christian. That's all it'll make you. The Hiscock Standard of Baptist Manual. If you're interested, I told you last night, go to the SBC.org, click on the What We Believe tabs, and pull down their creed or the Baptist faith and message. Dear friends, if the Word of God is sufficient tonight for the things that we believe, then this is where we need to stay. This will only make you a Christian. I'm talking about why I love the Church of Christ. I'm talking about the seed principle. Now, watch this. Another reason we find here, our Methodist friends, the Methodist Book of Discipline. You may not be able to see this. I found one yesterday and read through it from 1972. This particular one was revised in 2016. Do you know why we need this book right here? Because this right here will make you a Christian, and then go a little further and will solidify you into a Methodist. Where are these two things found in the Word of God? Well, friend, they're not found. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The Bible is sufficient. Things being voted on today in both the Southern Baptist Convention and the Methodist Church, reaffirmations of Scripture. One of the great debates taking place right here at this time, is still raging on, is the ordination of not only women as elders, but also of those in same-sex relationships. Friends, the Word of God's not up for debate. It's not up for vote. It's been settled. The seed principle. Our Presbyterian friends, they go a little further. The Westminster Larger Catechism, they are provided there. Read that. Read the Bible plus this. And what we're telling you tonight as members of the Church of Christ, we're not trying to be ugly or simply tell you that we've got it all figured out, but we're pointing you to the Word of God. Notice this, the Bible will make you only one thing, and that's a Christian. At Antioch, they were first called Christians, Acts 11:26. We simply want you to be a Christian tonight. Nothing more, nothing greater, nothing less. If you will do what they did, you will be what they were, a Christian. Why I love the Church of Christ, the seed principle, the Word of the living God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This Bible will replicate after its own kind over and over. Preacher, what do I do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins. Why? The remission, what will he do? Add me to his church, and then you tell someone else. What should I do? Repent and be baptized. What's it going to do? Add them to the church and make them a Christian. You see how that just happens over and over again. That's wonderful. Why I love the church. It makes those after its own kind. Not only that, but the Lord's church submits to Jesus. And when one is saved, they are added to the body, the church, other members. Only the Bible can do that. Only the Word of God is able to do that. I love the church because of the seed principle, because it submits. Look at this. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject, that is authority unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Watch this relationship. Now, this is not simply as far as we would have it in marriages dictating, but this is a mutual submission in that as Christ loves us and gave Himself for us, our response is submission unto Him. This is the church. Why I love the Church of Christ? Because it submits. Because it submits. Ephesians 4:24, the church is subject unto Christ. You say, what does that mean that it submits? If we are to be a true New Testament church, we submit to the authority of Jesus. We submit to His teachings. We submit to His authority. We submit to all that He says and do. I think of Jesus at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And I told our friends at Mount Olive A lot of people today are looking for words from Mary. A lot of our friends in the world are looking to hear something from Mary, the mother of Jesus. What does she have to say to us? Friends, may I say to you that Jesus' mother, Mary, gave us some wonderful instructions at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. When they ran out of wine there at the wedding, she said, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." There's some good words tonight. Jesus has the authority. Whatever he says, do it. We find in the Word of God that the Church of Christ follows the teaching of Christ. If we are to be considered His, we will follow His teaching. What is His teaching? That is when we submit to Him. His teaching of repentance, His teaching of reconciliation, His teaching of salvation, he that believes and is baptized, His teaching of holy living. All that Jesus teaches, we are called to submit to. What are we to submit to? How to be saved. We are to submit to His pattern of salvation. We live in a world today where you can find 40 different ways tonight how you're to be saved. Invite Jesus into your heart. Come to the mourner's bench and look for a sign. Ask God to settle it in your heart. Confusion abounds everywhere, and yet the New Testament pattern is so very plain today: to repent and be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Paul said that we put on Christ's righteousness in baptism. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. It is in the waters of baptism that God does a wonderful work. Colossians chapter number 2, God operates on man's heart when he is saved, cutting away his flesh and sin. Friends, we will submit to the authority of Jesus on how to be saved. Now notice this, we'll submit, and I will tell you this up front. This sermon could be 7 days long. There are so many studies in here. But for the sake of time, I'm going to compress it down because I want to go so many places, but I respect the time and know that I can't. We submit to His organization. You say, what do you mean, preacher, by His organization? God not only prescribed the authority to be saved and added to His church, but then He prescribed the authority of how to conduct ourselves in the church. Paul said to Timothy, the church is governed by elders overseeing. It's served by deacons and worked through evangelism and the work of the evangelist and members. So many today have greater hierarchies than the church. They have associations. Even in the Baptist church, we have local associations, state conventions, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Northern Convention. We have the United Methodist Convention, and confusion abounds. If we're going to be Christians only, we will submit to Jesus' authority, not only in salvation, but in the way the church is conducted. In our worship, we will submit to Jesus. If maybe you're visiting tonight, and this has been the first time you've had the opportunity to visit with an assembly of the Church of Christ, you will notice something very different, probably the absence of instruments in our worship. This is done not simply as a matter of preference, but as a matter of conviction, that because God's Word does not prescribe such in the New Testament, then we do not practice it. You will find that we use only our voices in worship. We are concerned with submitting to Christ, not only in the way that we preach and teach, but also in the very way that we worship. If you are looking for a group tonight who is concerned about authority, I pray that this would be it. Not only in our worship, but in our work, evangelism, and edification. Y'all are such good listeners that I want to preach harder, and it's having its effect on me. 3 times yesterday, and then this evening, and later on this week, our work. How we are called to work is under the authority of Jesus also. Notice this. In evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Now again, I don't have time to get into that tonight, but I want you to know that the church belonging to Jesus will not only submit in how to be saved, will not only submit in organization and worship, but will submit in the way that we also handle our work. Now the good thing about coming in for a meeting as an evangelist is I can put all this here on your plate and I'll leave it for Brother Billy to smooth out next week and come in and kind of teach a little more on, okay? All right, let's move on. Why I love his church, because it submits. Now watch this, 1 Timothy 3 and 15. I quoted this a minute ago. Paul said, but if I am delayed, I write, so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Friends, we are instructed of how we are to conduct the church, conduct ourselves in the church. Because the church submits, I love it, we submit to the authority of Christ. Look at this. We abide in the teaching of Christ. What He teaches, we ought to teach. What He has revealed. Now listen to me. We have no authority to teach what He hasn't taught and go beyond that which is written. I love the church because of the authority. And it does not follow the doctrines and commandments of men. Listen, if this congregation or any congregation begins to follow after the doctrines and commandments of men, if the evangelist here or the elders here begin to submit to doctrines of men, it would be good practice to separate yourself from that. We're not interested in the doctrines of men. We are to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Now here's another one. Why do I love the Church of Christ? This one's pretty simple. Because Jesus does. Look with me in Ephesians 5 and 25 as we work our way through this text. Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. May I say to you that what I'm talking about tonight includes submission. And may I also say, I hope when you come to gospel meetings, you come to be an instruction and being reproved. And maybe this is just what needs to be said. I wasn't instructed on this by the elders or the evangelists, but you ought to love to assemble with the church. You ought to love to assemble with the church. So many Christians today say they love the church, but they don't love to assemble with the church. The assembly is looked at as simply another thing to check off our mark. Okay, I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Friend, our desire, we should prefer one another. We should prefer to be with one another and to worship together. We should look forward. When we leave this place, it should be rekindled in our hearts that tomorrow night you may assemble again in this fashion if the Lord wills. We are called to love the church. Why? Because Jesus does. The Bible says here that He gave His life for it, in so much that He loved it and gave Himself. Friends, we ought to have that kind of love. We ought to be concerned for the church Jesus is concerned for. Look in chapter 28, or rather verses 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives, their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I've quoted this scripture already. Paul said, therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you love the church? Do you love this institution that we're preaching about tonight? Or is it simply something else that you've heard about all your life and you're bored and tired with it and you're over it? Friend, listen to me. I'll never forget, as long as I live studying the Word of God, and when I came to some of these wonderful foundational truths, I felt as if those at Pentecost in verse 37 were cut to the heart. And friend, when I see the church today, I don't simply see another institution that, yeah, it is what it is, but friend, I see the very thing that, as far as I'm concerned with, saved my life. The Christ that established this institution, the King that presides over it, who I can submit to, the church which He gave unto us, our love for it, because He does. The Ephesian writer, the Apostle Paul, said, 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19, Jesus gave His life for it. Look at what the text says. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but watch this now, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friends, this is why we love it. Ephesians 5 verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I love the church because it's blessed. The Ephesian writer back in Ephesians chapter 1 said that we thank God because He's put us in Christ Jesus where all spiritual blessings exist. In Christ, we can have all spiritual blessings. In verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Friends, if you're a member of this church, you're in a blessed position. You're in Christ Jesus. You may be asking tonight, well, who is the church? The church is all who are in Christ. May I ask you a question tonight? Are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus? Now here's what I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you if you've had a religious experience or if you have said a prayer at some time in your life and received Jesus into your heart. I am asking you if you have submitted to His authority, if you have been baptized by His authority for the remitting of your sins and allowed Him to add you to this church that I am talking about tonight. Have you done that thing in your life? If not, why not? The church is all who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible refers to Him as the chosen, the beloved. Notice the predestined. The text goes on, the adopted, the accepted. These are words of our relationship towards God. The redeemed and those who have an inheritance, the Word of God goes on to tell us. Are you a member of that body tonight? I love the church because it is blessed. But now I want you to notice something with me. The chart behind me, I think we need to give some attention to just for a few moments. I won't keep you much longer. Outside of Christ tonight, we are lost without hope. And to be outside of Christ is also, by the same definition, to be outside of His church. There are no spiritual blessings. We're not referred to as those that are chosen. We're not children of God. You are not accepted. You're not among those who have received redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins outside of Jesus Christ, dear friends. There's no assurance of a hope of heaven. And there is no heavenly inheritance if you are outside of Jesus Christ. But the church, listen, if you're a Christian, you have received some wonderful blessings. I meet so many Christians today who walk around with their head hung low, and I ask them how they're doing. Well, I'm okay. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. The national scene is in upheaval. I'm not sure about the stock market. I'm not sure what's going to happen in our local and county government. Dear friends, as a child of God, may I submit to you that while we submit to the laws of this land and we are to pray for our leaders, our hope does not sit in the White House or the State House, but our hope sits at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we as submitting to His authority, have a great hope tonight. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, look how the Bible describes us now. All spiritual blessings. Chosen. A child of God. Accepted. Redeemed. Forgiven. Reconciled. We now have assurance, 1 John 5:13, that we may know. And we have a heavenly inheritance. I say to you that I don't have much down here. I don't. I do good to piece together my sports coat and my nice discount pants and muster up a tie to put on. I'm not really sure I own a whole suit. I don't know if I do or not. I have to look. If I do, it may not fit me anymore. While I may not have much here, being in Christ Jesus affords me all the blessings. And may I say to you that my hope of heaven and my hope in Jesus is not just good for me when I lay my head down and draw my last breath and die, but I can enjoy the journey now with victory. Paul said, thanks be to God who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Friends, this thing is not just about dying. It's about living and loving His church. It's about living out being His body and who He is. Look at the blessings that have been afforded us as children of God if we've been redeemed. We can enjoy the blessings now. I love the church belonging to Christ because in it, those that have submitted to Jesus are blessed. If you're a Christian tonight, you're blessed. Why do I love this church? Because of its origin. Jesus established it because it submits. Because Jesus loves it. And gave His life for it. And because it is, and it will be blessed. I love it. for these reasons. So I want to ask you a question tonight if you're in this assembly. Do you love the church? The Bible said Jesus cherishes it. Friend, you can't say that I love Jesus and not the church. Men, listen. If I come up to you and I said, hey, I like you. Let's go get something to eat. Keep your wife at home. I don't like her. I would hope, wives, I would hope your husband would have a word with me. She's flesh with my flesh, bone with my bone. What do you mean? I love her. You can't have me and not her. I mean, if you can't be my closest confidant and friend and yet talk about my wife that way and have nothing to do with her. Yet so many people would have this attitude toward Jesus and the church which He gave His precious life for. The very institution that cost our Lord His life is the one we should love. Notice these scriptures just quickly with me here in just a moment. Look, may I ask you to do something for me tonight? If you're a member of this church, would you promise to do some things for me? First of all, even here at 4th Street tonight, in this local assembly, will you seek to build this church up? Working as members of His body. Will you seek to do your part, to be present in the assembly, to reach out to the lost? Listen, I know it's wonderful to have an evangelist, and I know the work and labor that comes with that, but will you also do your part, friend, to build it up? Will you promise to serve within it? And do your part in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, filling all of your part. Will you willingly sacrifice for the church? And not only that, but will you support its efforts by your presence, by your time, your talent, and your treasure? Will you do these things? Do you love the church? You've heard this sermon tonight and everything that's been said about it. Will you let the Lord, if not, if you haven't yet, add you to His church? Maybe you've heard about this church tonight and you said, you know what, I like what I'm hearing. I like the idea of authority according to the Bible. Friends, I've struggled for a long time in my life grappling for answers that seem to not be able to be found. Looking for authority on sinking ground. And yet when I opened this Word of God and found that there were those willing to submit to this and only this Word of God, will you submit to Jesus as your head? Will you follow the Lord and be blessed? Maybe you're in this assembly tonight and you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins. Tonight you need to do that. You need to do that tonight. You need to submit to Jesus right now. You say, well, I'm too old. No, friend, you're not too old. I'm too late. No, you're not too late. I'm too bad. You're not too bad. His hand is not shortened and His ear is not deafened tonight. But yet God calls, as He did through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 2, to come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be white as snow. Will you follow Him and be blessed? Apostle Paul writing in Acts chapter 20, you know the story, talking that he will go to Jerusalem and be bound. And speaking to each of them all the way through verse 32. He says this in verse 29, "For I know that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things," Paul said, "to draw away the disciples after themselves. And therefore," look now, "watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all those that are sanctified." That's the church. Many men have sought to destroy what God has done. Many men have sought to divide what God has instituted. Tonight I'm glad to report that if we'll submit to the word of God and submit our lives, we can be the church belonging to Christ. If you're here in this assembly and you've heard this sermon and you're subject to the invitation, you need to come tonight. I know there are those ready. All things are ready. Maybe you're a Christian. And you have those things of the public nature in which you need to address tonight and ask forgiveness and allow this congregation to pray for you. And maybe it is you're here and things in your life you've drifted and you need to address them. I know that many stand ready. I know that the evangelist here, I'll be here. We want to help you. We want to offer you book, chapter, and verse for the questions you have. You come now as together we stand and as we sing.